Thank you everybody for coming. It's great to see all the faces that are here. Yesterday was the day of Baba Sali, a man of great, great, great miracles. There's one thing that the Baba Sali has said is that every single Jew in this world has the potential to do miracles as well. And I want you guys all to keep coming, and Jonathan is doing great things. Jonathan is trying to bring everybody here together and to strengthen their bitachon and Hashem. And, you know, try to bring family members, try to bring friends, because we have tons and tons of food we want it all to be eaten as well. So I'm going to pass it all over to Jonathan, and hope you guys next week come again and bring more friends over. Thank you.
Shkoyach. We know we wrote in the group chat 8 o'clock, we're going to start. Do better next week. Okay. This class should be dedicated for the success and growth of Ronit Orly Bat Nurit and her family, from my parents, from my sister, and from everybody in this room. Refuah Shlema of Chana Bat Chaya Sarah, Gabriela Bat Sarah, Chaya Dorit Bat Geula, Chana Bat Sarah, and Ilanit Bat Leah. And the Farash Lamal, Gabriel ben Miriam, Mary Israel ben Revia, Esther, Yosef ben Miriam, Oz ben Michal, Rezeb bat Tzadikah, Ronim ben Rachel, Bosh ben Orli, Chaya bat Rachel, Otan ben Natalie, Chaim ben Asher, Chana bat Sarah, Chana bat Dovra, Yaakov ben Alis, Lil Nishmat, Daniel Mordechai ben Regina, David ben Masuda, Shaul Aryeh ben Simcha, Ronim ben Rachel, Esther Titi bat Rina, Reb Shmayel ben Rabba Avraham Weinschneider, Ephraim ben Achem Mendel ben Yitzhak Yaakov Yablonovich. Okay guys, welcome to the class. This is, I think, the 8th. Yeah, sure. You clap your hands if you want. I think this is the 8th edition of the class, and I see some new faces. We see some familiar faces. Like every good shiur goes, you know, nowadays religion is very intense for some people. You know, as an outside perspective. So we're gonna start with a joke. So there was a Hasidish guy walking to shul. His name was Yankala, and his friend sees him walking to shul, and he goes, "Oh, Yankala, was machst du da bid?" And he comes, he gives him a kiss. It's before Shabbat, you know, Friday night, they're walking to shul. If you heard this joke before, then hold the giggle for after. He gives him a kiss, he goes, "Wow, Yankala, such a good smell. What's that smell?" He goes, "Ah, I just shaved, aftershave, Rabbi Yid." He goes, "Oh, Avadeh, Shabbat Shalom." He goes to shul. They have Shabbat together and everything. After Shabbat, he sees his friend. He sees his friend Yankala again. He comes, he gives him a kiss. I would say Shabbat. He goes, "Ugh, what's that smell?" He goes, "After Shabbos." So, okay, Baruch Hashem, every week, we're going to start with a little joke. And then now we're going to go to our weekly intro. So I thought for this week, it could be very fun to talk about the power of speech. Now, to those of you who may or may not know, God created the world in speech, right? Bereshit ba Elokim et hashamayim ve et haaretz, Baruch Shama ve'aya olam. God created the world with speech. It's very interesting because if you look at everything in this world, every physical matter, every object, if you break it down to its finest, smallest component, it's made out of vibration of sound, which further proves the fact that God created the world through speech. Speech is extremely powerful. You can have two people that use their mouth. One is a king using his speech to rule the world and to rule his kingdom and whatnot. And you can have another person who uses his mouth, lo alenu, to curse or to put people down or not to use his mouth in the right way. And it's very interesting to take this into dating for a second. You know, a man is compared to a seed for potential, seed for growth. The man is the giver. And the woman is compared to the earth, right? What happens when you put a seed into the ground? The earth nurtures the seed and it brings the potential to reality. That's why a man without a woman, he's not able to fulfill his potential in this world. He's not able to hit his goals and whatnot. And that's why it's very important for people to get married, because it works hand in hand. And now, from that seed being planted into the ground and the earth nurturing it, that one seed, that small seed, can produce hundreds and hundreds of apples or whatever tree it is. The same thing happens in relationships. A man could give his wife, chas v'shalom, one bad word, and she'll give him thousands in return. And if she's a Moroccan, millions. And it goes hand in hand, because if a man gives his spouse one good word, one good compliment, she's going to take that, she's going to nurture it, and she's going to give him the world in return. And many times what people don't realize when it comes to relationships is that all a woman really wants is just to be spoken to nicely, just to be uplifted with your words, to appreciate her, and not to do it in a fake way. I heard Rabbi Saadia Al-Khadat, to give him the credit, say this week that if you come home and you're married, you see your house is a mess, Instead of faking it and saying, oh, the house is beautiful, your wife knows that the house is a mess. Look genuinely for the one thing that she did that day. Let's say she made the bed. Look, the house is a mess, the kids are running around, you know, there's food everywhere, whatever it is, or maybe there's no food. And to look and to give appreciation to the one thing she did, which is she made the bed. And then she's nasi'a, because a woman knows her house is a mess, of course. But when you look and see the one good thing that she did, she's gonna appreciate it so much. You're gonna come home the next day, the house is gonna be mint clean. It's very important to take advantage of our speech. Of course, a person can use a speech to completely lift a person up or to completely destroy a person. Our speech can generate us income, it can generate us a livelihood, it can generate us connections with people, it can generate us a connection with our soulmate, it can generate us everything in our life. And that's why I thought it was important to open up with the topic of speech, because speech, a person's, even the person's self-image of themselves, according to the Chafetz Chaim in Sefer Shemata Lashon, the way a person looks at themselves is malleable, meaning it can change. And what does it depend on? Speech. If you speak to a person in a nice way, you give them compliments, you bring them up, etc., then you're going to make that person feel like a million bucks. But that same mouth that can create for someone to feel so good, you can also put someone down. You could put someone down so much to the fact where they won't even feel the confidence to get out of bed in the morning. They won't even feel the confidence to try. They won't even feel the confidence to attempt something new. And the reality of the world is that everyone is going through a difficulty in their life. Everyone's going through something or growing through something. And all we really need is encouragement and positive words. Yes, we all made mistakes. We all have a past. We all did things in our past and maybe we might not be so proud of. But like we were saying last week, it's so important not to focus on the outcome, but to focus on the effort. And if a person is thinking about Hashem and trying to do good and coming to these classes to learn Shaar HaBitachon, to really learn the tools of how to deal with life and to really come and to get closer to Hashem, even just coming, if you don't retain one thing I say, it's already a massive effort in Shamayim. And of course, I think many of you retain a lot, Baruch Hashem, and that's what we're here for. And the same way that Hashem used speech to create the world, we can use our speech to create our reality. When we pray, we have to have the hope that Hashem, we have to have the hope and the belief that Hashem's listening. Sometimes Hashem can say, you know what, Reuven is destined to make $1 million in November. But if Reuven comes to Hashem, and let's say it's August, and says, Hashem, I don't know when it's meant for me to make my fortune, but I would really, really want to make it now. You can use that power of speech and the power of prayer to bring things to you before it's time. That's the beauty of prayer. A person should really pray every single day with Kavanah, of course, and to pray to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, please help me. I want to get married. I want to fix my marriage. I want to be a healthier person. I want to be a happy person. I want to have success when I learn Torah. I want to feel your presence in my day. I want to feel your hugs and kisses, Ribono Shel Olam, to tell Hashem the genuine truth. Don't come to Hashem and speak to Him and fake it. Hashem knows exactly what's on your mind. He knows exactly what's going on. And all Hashem wants for us is to speak to Him and to tell Him the truth about what's going on. And that's how you bring Hashem into your life. That's how you bring Hashem into your business, into your marriage, and etc. And really, it all starts with the power of speech. And what comes out of our mouth is what we're thinking all day. If a person is thinking about Hashem, trying to connect to Hashem, to grow, to come closer to Hashem, the things they're going to say, it's going to sound beautiful. He's going to speak very softly. Everything he's going to say is going to be positive, because all he has in his mind is positivity. Your life is composed of tefillah and Torah and gemilut chasadim and doing things for people and just being a good person. You don't have to be a certain type of way or a certain type of religious or a certain type of background in this. A person can be completely by themselves, like Avraham Avinu, and they could be going the opposite of what the whole entire world's doing. Your friends could be doing this and your family could be telling you that, and this person says this and that person says that, but it's all up to you at the end of the day. A person's biggest enemy, or rather not just the enemy but also your biggest supporter, is yourself. If you have yourself, like Hillel says, Imena nili mili, if I don't have myself, then who's going to look out for me? Of course, it's we have support in our lives. Some people support us, but some are not going to support you. Some are not going to support your ideas and go with your way, even if you're trying to go in the derech of Hashem. I learned something very interesting lately, where if a person tries to come closer to Hashem, you're going to have people in your life that are going to see, wow, look, this person's trying to elevate from this level, let's suck him back down. And it's not even them doing it, it's really the Yetzara working in disguise. Because sometimes a person's potential is so great, they're not going to feel satisfied from what they're doing in their life, and they're going to yearn for more spirituality, for more Kedushah. Instead of more, so much material and so much Olam HaZeh, a person is going to yearn for more. I want more Hashem in my life. more Tehillim, more Tefillah, more Torah, more Chidushim, more positivity, more understanding what I'm doing, more of the why, not so much the what. And sometimes when people try to do that, you're going to have people discourage you. That's why you have to be very, very sure of yourself and sure of where you're going and sure that if you decide to come closer to Hashem, nothing should get in the way of that. Because think about it for a second. If Hashem is all, Hashem doesn't change, people change. But if Hashem is all giving and all kind and all wondrous and miracles and love and positivity, nothing changes by Hashem. Don't you think that if you spend more time with Hashem, you're going to become like that? The Rambam says the people you spend time with, you become like them. Same thing with Hashem. You spend more time with Hashem, talking to Him, living with Him, following and going in His footsteps, going in His ways, then Hashem is going to see, look at my dear child, I'm going to give him pieces of me. And also to understand that Hashem doesn't judge everybody the same. It's you know, there's a famous analogy, which is wrong completely, where people think, oh, if a father has two children, one child's obedient and one's not, the father is going to give to the more obedient child whatever he wants to give him. Yes, that's true by human beings, but when it comes to Hashem, it's not true at all. Hashem judges and understands every single person differently, because we all have our package. We all have our upbringing, our minds, our DNA, our complete package, and Hashem understands you. That's why with Hashem, it's a relationship. It's a relationship from exactly where you're at, and don't think, oh, well, if I would know now what I knew back then, this would have ended differently. No. Part of being close to Hashem and part of what we're trying to accomplish in these classes is knowing that you're exactly where you need to be, and all a person has to do in order to take that first step is to say, Hashem, thank you for where I am. Thank you that the shidduch didn't work out. Thank you that the business deal didn't work out. Thank you that maybe I don't have a job right now. Thank you if a person's sick, chas v'shalom. Thank you that I'm sick right now. Thank you for exactly what's happening, because if it needed to be different, if it needed to be better, it would be. And sometimes the purpose of the struggle is just for us to come closer to Hashem. And of course, Hashem also has, in a sense, an expectation of us. How many times can a person... And I say this in the nicest way possible, because people have potential. People just shy away from their own greatness. Remember, people have a lot of potential, souls have a lot of potential, but we shy away from our own greatness. How many times can a person hear in Shiurim that it's asur to drive on Shabbat and continue to drive on Shabbat in Hashem's face? How many times can a person hear that it's important to pray in the minyan, but they're still waking up at 10 o'clock every day? There has to come a certain time in your life where you're like, okay, things are not moving for me. I know better than how I'm acting. I have to start trying. And to start to try, it's better to pray in the 11 o'clock. I don't think I shared this. No, I said this on Shabbat. I'll tell you guys a personal story. For the, I think about 2 years ago, I wasn't going to minyan in the morning at all for Shachrit. Me, personally. And I met a very special person who really encouraged me to get up in the morning and to go to pray. I didn't go for my own reasons. When I was in high school, I was always pushed to pray. And if I came 5 minutes late, I would get detention. And I built like a resentment towards prayer, towards waking up early in the morning for this specific reason. And that's my story. That's my truth. And I met a very special person who really brought out the best in me. And this person pushed me to go to minyan, even if I go late. And I thought about it. I was receiving the love. I was receiving the positive words. And one Sunday morning, I'm like, you know what? Let me try to go to minyan. I go to minyan 11:30 a.m., the latest minyan. And we finish so late that people are already praying mincha after. In Brooklyn, Landau's, if you've ever been there before. They have minyanim till, I don't even, till sunset, shachrit. But I went to the last minyan 11:30. And then I went to 11:30 minyan. I told this special person that I went. And this person told me, I'm proud of you. That to me was like $1,000,000. Like, wow, you're proud of me for going to Shachrit? I'm going to go again. Then I started going to the 10 o'clock minyan. Then the 9:30 minyan. Then the 9 o'clock minyan. Slowly, slowly, I was pacing myself. I would start my day. I would wake up a little bit later, 9:30, 9 o'clock. Then when I moved to Miami, Safra has an 8:20 minyan. That's like their latest minyan. I think now in Yeshiva week, they have a 9 o'clock minyan. I started going to the 8:20 minyan in Safra. Then, I don't know how this even happened, but for the past 3 months consistently, I haven't missed one day. Not one day. Me, when I do something, I'm crazy. Netz minyan for the past 3 months in a row. And how did it start? With 11:30 a.m. And all it took was that one special person to give me one compliment, one nice word. And you can see, so much negativity was given to me, so many bad words. I didn't want to go to the minyan. I had yeush, I had despair, which is the wrong thing to do, but it's part of our story. It's all part of making you great. It's not about the fact that you miss so much, it's about the fact, look where I am today. For me, for a long time, I didn't go to Shachrit, but now I have 3 months of netz every single morning. And you, there's also there's a concept in the Mishnah. It's called the Fum Tzara Agra. Hashem rewards you according to the difficulty. And a person could think, well, look, I'm keeping all the mitzvot now. It's easy for me to go to Netz now. Let's say, well, it's not always so easy because I have a crazy schedule. But a person can say, more or less, I'm on the right path. It's easy for me now. Hashem says, no, I'm going to reward you for going to Netz like it was hard for you the first time to go. It was so hard for you to go that first time at 11:30, but you decided to do it. I'm going to reward you like it was the first time that you ever went every single day. That's the beauty of coming close to Hashem. That's the chesed of Hashem. If a person is thinking, oh, well, I keep Shabbat now for a whole year. It's easy for me now. Hashem says, no, I'm going to reward you for your Shmirat Shabbat like it's the first time you do it. A man guards his eyes and keeps Shmirat Tabriz and they get rewarded like it was for him for the first time. Person starts giving charity. Any mitzvah in the Torah, if you start doing it and it becomes easy for you now, because of course it becomes a part of your life, you change, you get closer to Hashem, you have more kedusha in your life, you become a happier person, better midot. If you look, by the way, at someone who makes tshuva before and after, it's amazing. One person has, you know, not the best midot, they don't think about other people, they're not considerate for other people, they're not close to God in their life, they're complainers, they're whiners, etc. But when you get close to Hashem, the craziest things could happen to you, but you're still smiling. The craziest things that happen in your life, but you're thanking Hashem for the craziest situations, even when you don't understand why. And it's not in the sense to fake it, to say, oh Hashem, thank you, but you're grumpy all day. No, to genuinely try to find the one good thing in this difficult situation that's happening to you in your life right now. And that's what Hashem is looking for, that we actually trust Him, not that we're just faking it because we want to trust Him. Of course, we should try our best to trust Him, and it's a relationship. You can't come and fake it, you know, with God. It's about being genuine, being honest, and it's going to take time. It's going to take time to accept Hashem's will. It's going to take time to become this type of a person. But one thing I could tell you guys is that you're on the right track. The fact that you're coming to these classes, or for you people on the telephone, if you're listening to these classes, and you're thinking, even if you think about clicking the class, or you're thinking about coming to the class, but you don't make it, you're on the right track. Because you're thinking, I didn't force anyone to come here. You're thinking about emunah, you're thinking about bitachon, and you want to come closer to Hashem. And for that, you should all have a round of applause for yourselves. It's a very special thing. It's a very special thing. And Hashem is proud of you. I'm proud of you. And Hashem has tremendous love for you guys. And I have tremendous love for you guys. You don't know how amazing and important it is that you're coming and trying to understand the truth of the Creator of the world. And I'll tell you another thing. Everything that you chase in life is going to run away from you. And whatever you run away from, that's going to run towards you. If a person's chasing a girl, she's going to run away. You run away from her in a way, and you run towards Hashem, it's going to come to you. Run towards money, it's going to run away from you. You run towards being friends with someone, it's going to run away from you. A person's focus has to be internally, I want to be close to Hashem. Make yourself a schedule. 8 o'clock you're in shul, 10 o'clock you're in the gym, 12 o'clock you're going to work. Make a schedule, stick to the schedule, meditate, talk to Hashem, have a healthy schedule, do the inner work, not the outer work. Outer work is shallow, it doesn't do anything. Looking and doing and working 12 hours a day and talking to a million therapists. Go to therapy if you have to. I'm not discouraging it. But the best therapist in the entire world is Ribono Shel Olam, because he knows exactly what's going on. He doesn't charge you $500 an hour. You can talk to Hashem. It's free. And it's the therapist is not going to listen anymore. But really, guys, I'm being serious. I'm talking to you from my heart. Things that come out of the heart, they go into the heart. I'm not making money off this. I'm not trying to do this for my own popularity. Like, I'm literally giving these classes for myself, for all of us to genuinely come and grow together. And that's why I'm going to keep saying the same message over and over again. I had a podcast, if you guys saw in the chat, I had two podcasts yesterday, one with Rabbi Saadia from Montreal, which is an amazing rabbi. He actually might be coming to give a couple words. I'm going to check on the WhatsApp to see if he's answering. He's in Mozart Cafe. And he's like, I'm having dinner or whatever. Let me tell him to come. It's not too late. And I had also, we did a podcast with Gedalia, which was probably the most refreshing podcast I've done in a while. And Gedalia said many beautiful things in the podcast. You guys, of course, will watch it when it comes out. To me, he's really like a father figure and a mentor. And we had a whole amazing story about how we met. It's actually pinned in my Instagram if you want to listen to it. It was probably one of the nicest, you know, most amazing things that ever happened. And one of the things that he told me yesterday, which I really can't get out of my head, is that he told me, he actually might be coming to speak, by the way, in 2-3 weeks in this class. So it should be a crazy night, because I asked him if he wants to come speak, and he's like, for sure, anything for you. So we might be seeing him soon. So one of the things that he said that I can't get out of my head you know, it's like playing in my head constantly, these words. He said that everything in my life came to me. And I asked him, like, what do you mean by that? And he said, I never chased anything. I just made myself a magnet. And everything came to me in my life. And you would think that this is a highly successful person. And of course, podcast, business, etc. Everything came to him. Even his car. He drives a Rolls Royce. He said, someone offered me the deal and I took it. You would think. And he has nice jewelry. It came to him. His wife got him a gift. Everything in his life came to him. And that's why it's also important not to judge people. You could think, oh, well, look at this person. They dress nice. They wear nice things. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. It's all about where your mind at. And you see a person like that, a regular businessman working, connecting to Hashem, and everything just came to him. And I can honestly say the same thing. I should honestly write a book, because all the interviews on my page and all the videos, the ones where I pushed for it, it literally ran away from me. And the ones where I just came and just let Hashem do his job, things came to me. I can't even explain to you. I have so many stories of how literally, like, the most famous rabbis and celebrities and people, it just came to, I didn't try. I said, Hashem, if you want me to have it, I'll have it. Get a phone call a couple minutes later. Hey, you want to do a video with Isha Ariba? I'm giving you 2 minutes. Yes. Hey, you want to come meet the Yanuka? Yes. Hey, you want to come meet, what's his name, Rabbi Eyal Amrami? Yes. Things just came to me. I didn't try. And whenever I did try and I bothered the managers and I bothered the gabbais, they couldn't stand me. But the second that I just let it go, it came right back. And it's exactly the rule of thumb in life. Make yourself a magnet. Your soulmate will find you. Money will find you. Happiness will find you. Dvekut to Hashem, that's going to come to you. Make your focus one thing. I want to be close to Hashem and everything will come to me. And of course, pray. Pray, say, Hashem, I want to get married. I want to make a lot of money. I want to use it for the right things. And I want to maybe buy nice things too. Be honest with God. Don't say, oh, Hashem, you're going to give me money. I'm going to give everything to charity. No. Be honest. Yes, you want a nice house. Yes, you want a nice car. But you're also going to give a nice amount to charity. And that's how we should live our lives. Not running towards things, letting things come to us, because that's the biggest demonstration to God that you trust Him. When you show Him that I'm going to live my life in abundance, not live my life in lack. No, abundance, meaning Hashem, you run the world and you give me exactly what I need, and I'm going to pray if I want more, but I'm not going to force things. I'm going to say, Hashem, I want this. If it's good for me, let me have it. It's the biggest tool in prayer. The Gemara said it's asur for a person to pray for specific things. Like, don't pray for a specific person. Say, Hashem, I like this person, or maybe I love this person, and if it's meant that I should be with them, make it happen. If not, take it away. To literally live with that confidence and to say, Hashem, you know best. I don't know anything. I'm just going through the motions of my day. You put me here, you put me there. I don't know what's going on. You rule my life for me. But Hashem, you know what's best. And with that mindset, it's really going to lead us to only success, because there's no disappointment, there's no despair, there's no expectations. The only expectation we should have is not on people. We should have a high expectations for ourselves to grow and to continue growing, and no limit with growth. One thing I always say with myself is I have no limit for my spiritual growth. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know if I'm going to maybe become a rabbi. I'm scared of being a rabbi because it's like a lot of responsibility, but like, I'll never say no to becoming greater and to learning more. I'll never say, oh, I know enough Gemara now, or I know enough Halachot now, or I'm studying so much, look at where I am. The second you say, look at where I got to, you lost it all. Always remember that as much as you're growing and learning, you have so much to learn, and keep yourself humble. Because the second the ego kicks in, you're going to stop putting in all those efforts. But the more that you realize that you know nothing, and that's the way to actually show Hashem that you have so much potential to grow to, because you're humbling yourself. But the moment you think you know something, you lose it all. And with that, that was the intro. So let's go to page 47. And we're going to talk about today the spiritual benefits of having bitachon. Everybody have a book? Ah, Mr. Yechiel, I'm going to wait for you. Okay, please Hashem, let that whatever we're learning now to our soul. And everybody who wasn't here in the past, I'm going to quickly say, as we're reading the text of the Shara Bitachon, I want everyone to whisper the words to yourselves, because when you say it, power of speech, remember? When you say it, you're creating a vessel and you're actually sowing the words on your soul. That's the whole point. We want to clean out the garbage of our soul, whatever we learned until today, and to put in a new file, to put in a new update, a new download. So Bezrat Hashem, Na'aseh v'Natzliach. So page 47, everybody with me? It says, spiritual benefits of having bitachon. U'mitoelet ha-bitachon be'Hashem b'inyan ha-Torah. Trust, everyone say it. quietly. Trust in Hashem is beneficial to a person in the matter of his spiritual life. That is in the Torah. Later he will speak about physical benefits. Ki abotach b'Hashem im hu ba'al mamon. For if one who trusts in Hashem is wealthy, yemaher leotzi chovot ha'elohim v'chovot b'nei adam mimamono b'nefesh ha'chevtza v'ruach nediva. He will hurry to use his wealth to fulfill his obligations towards God and his obligations towards people with a willing soul and a generous spirit. We literally just spoke about this. This means that he's not holding his money in secrecy, putting it away just for himself. We literally just spoke about this. Hashgacha pratit. And when his time comes to leave the world, it all goes to someone else and he has labored for nothing. No. The Baal Bitachon has utilized his earnings to accomplish something in the world. Besides the Bitachon, which is an achievement in itself, the Baal Bitachon has utilized his money for good purposes. When he gives to charitable purposes to help people, to help the yeshivot, he should know that itself is a tremendous achievement, in addition to the bitachon that he has acquired for himself. You guys should know, by the way, that the most powerful maaser and tzedakah you could give is giving to sources of learning Torah, to giving to a yeshiva, because it's one thing to sponsor Seudah Shlishit. I'm going to teach you guys a lesson in life. When you sponsor Seudah Shlishit, you're getting maybe 150, 200 mitzvah from all the brachot that people make, if they're making brachot. When you sponsor learning Torah, specifically kiruv, like the type of work that we do and many other rabbis that do amazing kiruv work, you're sponsoring money to a place that will never stop giving you return on your investment. Because if you sponsor, let's say, to what I do or to what someone else does, and one Baal Tshuva comes out of it, all the mitzvah go to your account, then that Baal Tshuva has kids, and those kids are going to be following in the ways of Hashem, and grandkids, and etc. And it's an investment that never stops returning on it. And you can give $1 to Kiruv, you can give 100 to Kiruv, you can get 1,000. So it's very important to remember, even when you do give tzedakah, to make the right investments that will give you mitzvot in return forever and ever. It's one thing to sponsor yeshiva, to sponsor a breakfast in yeshiva, and it's one thing to actually buy the gemarot that they're using, because those gemarot that they're using is going to be a whole different world of impact. So just food for thought. Now suppose, and by the way, if you guys have any questions at any time, we'll take them. Now suppose this man of Bitachon is not a wealthy man. Because of his bitachon, he will look at the lack of money as one of the benefits that Hashem confers upon him. Because the obligations are now removed from him. The obligations in which he is obligated to Hashem and to people because of the money. Now he's a free man. A man who has money has responsibilities on his shoulders. If there are causes that have to be supported by money, Hashem blames him for not helping, which is very true. If there are poor people, he's the one who is responsible if they lack the help they need. A poor man is absolved from all these responsibilities. If a man is poor and he has bitachon, he considers the poverty as a gift from Hashem. Hashem says, I'm relieving you of this obligation. Don't worry now because you have nothing to be responsible for. You don't have money. Just think about yourself and your own duties. Serve me and appreciate the gift I gave you. What's the gift? I gave you the gift of not having money. That's a very great gift. The man who has money, umiyut midrat libo bishmirato v'hanhagato, benefits by being spared the burden of maintaining and managing it. Now his mind is no longer occupied in trying to guard his money. Very interesting piece. We think sometimes when the poor person is coming to you in shul with the credit card machine or with an outstretched arm that they're being annoying. No, they're actually giving you a massive opportunity. Because think about it for a second. If you take a $10 bill and you crumble it up, you're creating a yut. Now the poor person reaches out his hand. That's okay. His forearm is a vav, and your money and you giving him the money is okay again. So you actually, when you give charity, you're creating Hashem's name. Food for thought. A person who has property is obligated to worry about his property. Hashem won't agree to a man's neglecting his wealth. He has to see it that he supervises his fields and his workers. That's part of his job, and that takes away part of his life. He can't help himself. In contrast, this man who has no property is absolved from that burden, and his mind is open and clear to pure Torah accomplishments in life. We see that Chavot HaLevavot speaks of the Torah advantages of being a Baal Bitachon. Subsequently, he'll speak about the physical material advantages. Now he's telling us in the service of Hashem and a person's relationship with Hashem, what an achievement it is to gain the attitude of bitachon. When a person has no bitachon, he puts all of his efforts into his business, because that's his life, that's his future. He has nothing else but that. But when Hashem sees that a man is trying to gain bitachon, he helps him to liberate his mind from the burden of being enslaved to his business. I'm sure we can all relate to this. This is like what was said about one of the pious people. Shaya Omer, he used to say, may Hashem rescue me from the scattering of my soul. You guys should really write down that word, Pizur HaNefesh. This is exactly the issue of what's going on in today's generation. Pizur HaSoul means that your head is everywhere in a million different places and you can't focus. May Hashem save me from the scattering of my soul. Pizur HaNefesh. Remember that word. But what does that mean? Amru lo, Mahu Pizur HaNefesh, he was asked. What is the scattering of the soul that you want Hashem to protect you from? Amar, Shieli Mamon Berosh Kol Nahar of Rosh Kol Kiryah, he answered. From having property in very various places. If his property is scattered, his mind is occupied thinking about it. If all his property was in one place, it would be easier to worry about it. Now that it's in various places, he's thinking, I have to go there and supervise, or I have to go here and take a look. That's Pizur HaNefesh, when your mind is not settled. This is what happens when people don't centralize their thoughts in Hashem. Their thoughts scatter to all the things that they think will contribute to their well-being. They need this or that, and they think about that person or that enterprise. All things come up in their mind. If they are active people, they have many things occupying their mind. So this Hasid used to pray, Hashem, save me from the scattering of thoughts. Now, it doesn't mean that a person shouldn't have property, but even if he does, he should concentrate his thoughts on Hashem. That's his main interest in life. Vehu, Mashamru, and this is what Chazal said, turn the page. Marbet nechasim, marbet de'aga. The more property a person has, the more worries he has. This doesn't mean that a man who has property should give away his property, but you should know that the increase in his property is going to be a special test for him, and it will make it more difficult for him to keep his mind on the central thought that Hashem is the real property. V'amru, and they said, Ezu Ashir, who is the wealthy man? Hasamech b'chalko. It's my favorite pasuk of all time. Who is a wealthy man? He who rejoices in his lot. Now, what if a person says, well, I don't have money. I actually have nothing in my life. Did you wake up this morning? Do your eyes work? Do your legs work? Do your arms work? Are you able to breathe? Are you able to smell the pizza in this room? Can you feel the fact that it's so hot in this room? Your body is working, and that's a blessing in itself. I actually asked someone recently, if God forbid, a person woke up tomorrow and they were blind, God forbid, how much money would you give to regain your sight? There's no amount of money in the world, right? You would give trillions of dollars just to regain your sight back, just to be able to walk into Collins Avenue and to see all the big, beautiful buildings, or to look in the mirror and to see your beautiful face, or to be able to see the sun, to see the moon, to see the stars, to see Hashem's creations, to see the beautiful palm trees we have here in Miami. How much would a person pay for their vision? Many people are rich, millionaires, billionaires, and believe me, I've met them and they are the most miserable people in the world. So sometimes when you ask Hashem for a big ask, like becoming a wealthy person, Hashem won't always give it to you because A, you might not be able to handle it, and B, it's not always the best thing for a person to be so rich. That's why we should be so happy that we have what we have. We have a warm bed to sleep on, we have an apartment or a house, we have a car to drive, we have a working body, and we have potential. You know, in this week's parasha, parasha B'Shalach, it's actually so funny that it falls out this week. You have the miracle that Hashem took B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And what does it say in the Pasuk? It said, Yeshuat Hashem keheref ayin. The salvation for Hashem came in the blink of an eye. Now, there's a very famous question. Why did it take Hashem 10 plagues and all the craziness going on in Egypt and all the absolvement in order for Him to finally bring the Yeshua in the blink of an eye? And this is a lesson for life. Because sometimes in life, Hashem has to put us through so much to grow our vessel. And when in the second that the nation of Israel was ready to go out of Egypt, that was when Yeshuat Hashem came keref ayin. We have to be ready for the salvation of Hashem. Because if Hashem gives you right now $100 million, that could be the biggest curse to a person. You're not going to know how to use the money. Maybe you didn't work for the money, so you're not going to feel the appreciation that you have it. Maybe that money is going to get you farther away from Hashem. That's why I say to anyone in this room, if you really, really, really want to have a lot of money, you want to be a wealthy, successful person, you want to have that feeling of comfort and to use money as a tool to do good, show Hashem from now. Show Hashem that as much money as He gives you, you're going to use that money to serve Him. Show Hashem that the money is not going to bring you farther away from Him. If you drive a nice car, you're not going to look for everyone to see you. Or if you have a nice house, you're not going to show off. You're not going to use the money in a sense to bring you farther away from Hashem. If you really, really want to make a lot of money, show Hashem with what you have now. If you show Hashem that now, use the money to humble yourself. You use the money to do more mitzvot. You give a lot of tzedakah. You give a lot of ma'aser. You're very generous with the money that you have. Hashem will give you more. Use the more that He gives you to show Him again. The more that you give me, I'm going to show you more that you can trust me with this money. And that's the right way to become rich. Not slaving at your job. Not thinking that, oh, I have to worry. I have my business, etc. No. Do your expected hishtadlut to make money. Because then again, you can have a company where one person makes 500 phone calls and one makes five, and they make the same amount of money. Everything is truly in Hashem's hands, and it's all up to us. And like we said, Yeshuat Hashem Keharef Ayin, when the person makes himself the right person to get married and to make an income and for whatever they want to receive, then the salvation will come right away. But as long as we're not close to Hashem, as long as we think it's in our hands, Kochi Ve'otzim Yadi, Hashem will keep you in Egypt until you're ready. But that's why it's so important to work on our midot, to work on our character traits, to work on our relationship with Hashem, and to come close to Him. Because through coming close to Hashem, we're going to be able to handle all the gifts that He gives us. And it's not going to be where Hashem gives us something that's going to be detrimental for us. No. When Hashem gives you a wife, you're going to be in the space where I'm ready to give. Hashem gives you money, I'm ready to use this money to make the world a better place. Everything that Hashem gives me a big house, I'm going to use it to fill my house up with guests. Whatever Hashem gives me, I'm going to use it as a keli, as a vessel to serve Him more. And that's really the recipe of life. But again, Ezu Ashir, who is the wealthy man? Hasamech v'chalko, someone who's happy with what he has. Interestingly enough, Besimcha in Hebrew, Betsin Mem Chetei, has the same letters as the word Machshava, mindset. So really, to be happy is a mindset. It's all up to you. You can choose to look at what you don't have, or you can choose to look at what you do have. And by the way, just a little trick, when you thank Hashem for what you do have, He's usually going to give you more. Because like it says in Pirkei Avot, Ya'aser Kitzoni Kitzoncha, Ya'aser Kitzoncha Kitzono. When a person makes their will like Hashem's will, Hashem, thank you for coming. Hashem will make His will like their. Oh, now the rabbi's gonna come and say a couple words. No, come. We're waiting for you, Rabbi. Okay, fine. This is a special rabbi from Montreal. Rabbi, 5 minutes and you're taking over. Who is some a happy person? Someone that's happy with what Hashem gives them. Like we just said, same letters as the word machshava, mindset. So when a person looks at what he does have, as opposed to what he doesn't have, Hashem is usually going to give him more. Because when we make our will like Hashem's will, Hashem is going to make our will like His will. But to genuinely make our will like Hashem's will, say, Hashem, I really want to pray. I want to learn. I want to come closer to You. When You give me my other half, my zivug, I want to make this person happy. I want to come to the relationship with abundance, not looking to take. I want to give to this person. I want to make this person happy. Hashem, You make me a rich man. I want to use this money to serve You better. And to continue saying these things to ourselves and to continue trying to make our will like Hashem's will. Because remember, we come into this world, the malach flicks us. That's why we have that little line in the middle of our lips. And we're getting so much information from society. Well, you have to buy this course, go to this college, get this degree, get this job. We have all this shmutz in our neshama. What's the focus of these classes? To clean everything that we've learned up until now and to put in new information, to put in information of how Hashem wants us to rule our lives and that Hashem runs the world, and to thank Hashem for everything happening and to recognize that Hashem is going to fix everything. You can't fix the relationship, only Hashem could fix it. You can't fix the business, only Hashem could fix it. You can't make yourself happy, only Hashem can make you feel happy. The more that we get closer to Hashem, like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Kivat Elohim Litov, the more that I get close to Hashem, the more that I get close to my Creator, it's good for my soul, it's good for me. And not to feel despair. Lev Nishba V'Nitzkeh Elohim Lo Tivzeh. If a person feels broken inside and difficult things are happening to you, Elohim Lo Tivzeh. Hashem doesn't make out of you a pitiful case or a bizayon, or Hashem doesn't neglect you. The opposite. Karov Hashem Nishba'er Lev. Hashem is closest to the people with a broken heart. Because one prayer with a broken heart is equal to 1,000 without one. So at the moment where dafka, things are going crazy in your life, and like we said inside, you have a lot of pizur hanefesh, a scattering of your thought, that's the best time to come closer to Hashem. Because the most difficult things that happen to you in your life suck out of you your potential. This corresponds to the verse, Hashem is my allotted portion and my share, which teaches that Hashem is our lot and we should rejoice in Him. Of course, if Hashem gives you something, you try to appreciate that gift. By appreciating that gift, oh, we literally just said it, and it's inside. Hashgacha pratit. By appreciating that gift, you're doing two things. First of all, you're making yourself happy. And second, you're expressing your gratitude to Hashem. If a person is not happy with what he has, he won't thank Hashem for it. He won't be sufficiently grateful, and also he won't enjoy it. Rejoicing in one's lot is actually a major achievement in life, although it's difficult to acquire. David HaMelech was the king and he was wealthy. There is no question that every Jewish king was wealthy, and he had many interests all over the kingdom. And yet David said, Hashem is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Hashem ro'i lo achsar. Although he was a great warrior and he had soldiers and other people to help him, he still said, Hashem is the one who helps me, Whom shall I fear? Hashem is the one who helps me. Whom shall I fear? David spent his life thanking Hashem. He said, "Praise Hashem, O my soul." He constantly urged himself to thank Hashem. It doesn't mean a person should strive to be poor. If a person is successful in life, he should utilize that as an additional spur to thank Hashem and enjoy whatever he has. If he has a little, he should enjoy it and thank Hashem. If he has much, he should enjoy it and thank Hashem. Whether you have a little or a lot, always say thank you to Hashem. Therefore, we're not speaking now about limiting yourself in property. We're not speaking of just hiding in the corner and not doing anything. We're talking about active, ambitious people who accomplish things in life. Who's more active and ambitious than a king? David was conquering his enemies on all sides. He was a busy man, and yet his mind was always on Hashem, because he had trained himself when he was young, when he had nothing, and he had been happy that Hashem gave him a place to lie down on the meadows near the waters. When he was in the field, he was lonesome, but he was happy that he had something to eat. As it says, "Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack." So he trained himself to be happy with whatever he had. This, by the way, is why it's so important to read Tehillim. David HaMelech went through everything that a person can go through in their life. Shaul tried to kill him, he was constantly run after and put down and made fun of and etc. And David HaMelech never gave up on Hashem. That's why everybody who opens up Tehillim, I recommend to read it in English, or if you speak Spanish, or if you speak French, to read it in a language that you understand, because everybody could relate to what David HaMelech went through. That's why it's such a powerful form of prayer. When he became a king, he trained, and by the way, one person, Hashem could lower one person and rise the next. Hashem put David through all these trials and tribulations, but what did Hashem make of David? He made him a king. Same thing with Yosef HaTzadik. He went through so many trials and so many tribulations with his brothers and Manasseh Potiphar and being sold to Egypt and etc. and sitting in prison and all, such a difficult life. But what did Hashem do with him in the end? Hashem made him a king. Hashem will always make you a king. Just remember that in the difficult times that Hashem is with you, because the whole purpose of that difficulty is to get you closer to Hashem and for Hashem to give you more. So never think in a difficult time that Hashem gave up on you. The opposite. If life is hard, it's a very good indicator that Hashem loves you and He's trying to bring you closer to Him. Just, the scariest thing to do is to go into despair and depression and sadness and etc. So it's the worst thing that a person can do to himself, because they're going away from their potential. I understand if life is hard, I understand if life is difficult, but a person has to pull themselves together with everything that's going on, with everything crazy, and to say, "Hashem, if you gave me this test, I can overcome it." How does it go in the Gemara? Hashem doesn't give you a test, Hashem doesn't give you any test in your life, or any nisayon, any difficult experience, whether it be loss, or the breaking up of a shidduch, or not making money, or a certain difficult mental health crisis a person is going through. Hashem does not give you a test that you cannot overcome. When a person is going through that pain and suffering, Hashem is there having pain and suffering with you. Hashem is crying with you. The same way Hashem is happy when you're happy, Hashem is going to be sad with you when you're sad. If you feel like you're alone, you have no friends, no one's calling you, no one's checking in on you, I'm coming to tell you that my name is Jonathan Ben Shimol. Hashem is there with you, and I approve this message. When he became a king, he trained himself also as a result of his youthful experiences to be grateful and to think only about Hashem despite all the busy things he had to do. And by the way, the whole purpose of David HaMelech's sufferings was to prepare him to be a king. He knew how to relate to people. Maybe some, when you're a king, people come to you, they suffer, they struggle. David HaMelech knew how they felt because of all the difficulties that he went through. So sometimes the purpose of the difficulty you're going through is also Hashem preparing you for the greatness in your life. And I'm sure the rabbi could testify difficulties in his life too. Why? Because the rabbi is here to help people. And when the person commits their life to the service of Hashem, Hashem will sometimes put you through these difficult things to teach you how to relate to people, how to have empathy, how to have sympathy, how to have space in your heart for other people, and etc. We have to know that this study of bitachon is like having wealth. That's what he explained earlier in his introduction. He compared having bitachon to a man who has a secret of creating gold out of tin and lead, like the alchemist. That man has the key to wealth. But one should know that just like wealth is not acquired easily, bitachon doesn't come easily. There are people who are lazy, and instead of working, they say, "We have bitachon." That's not true. That's only an excuse. The Baal bitachon is not a lazy person. It's someone that's zariz. He's active. He's doing things. He could be a very active and successful man. Bitachon is something that you have to labor on to acquire. How do you work on it? Earlier we spoke about one of the methods. Whatever you do, before you do it, pray to Hashem that you should succeed. A person's going on a date, Hashem, please help that the date should work out. You're going into a very important business meeting, Hashem, I came to the meeting, but the outcome is in your hands. A person is coming to speak to a friend or to meet up with someone, whatever it is, please Hashem help that it should work out. And by the way, just because you ask Hashem to help you, it doesn't mean that the outcome is going to be the outcome that you want. That's why if you don't get your desired outcome, if the business deal doesn't work out, or if the day doesn't work out, or if whatever you're trying to do is not successful, in your eyes, thank Hashem, because the outcome is what God wanted to happen. After you're finished, thank Hashem for your success. Or if you didn't have success, I'm going to add in, thank Hashem. Keep in your mind that it's not you who accomplished anything. You did not accomplish anything. Hashem accomplished it. I was telling my chavruta this morning, I can't even put my shoes on in the morning without Hashem. I can't even come to this class. I can't even speak. I don't even know what I'm doing. Without Hashem, I am nothing. I'm zero. Hashem accomplishes everything for me in my life. And that's really the real dvekut. That's the real understanding that a person cannot do anything without Hashem. That's the ultimate beauty. It's the ultimate beauty when you recognize without Hashem, you can't do anything. That's one of the methods. Let's say you want to sell merchandise to a customer. When the customer walks in, say, Hashem, help me sell my merchandise to this customer. And let's say you do sell it to him. When he walks out, thank Hashem that he gave you this opportunity to sell your merchandise. If you labor on these methods, little by little, you will acquire the quality of bitachon, and it's wealth to have bitachon. But don't think this wealth comes easy. You must study this subject and practice it. You have to keep on working on it. For a person to simply say, I'm a ba bitachon, I trust in Hashem, isn't good enough. Such a man really doesn't trust in Hashem. He's hoping someone will come along and support him. Maybe a relative, or maybe he'll win the lottery. He's hoping something will happen. He just says he trusts in Hashem. Don't say you trust in Hashem unless you have labored and studied the subject. And by the way, so you guys don't get confused, you should say I trust in Hashem, and you should say you're a Baal Bitachon. It's not talking about someone who's genuinely trying to come closer to Hashem. What it's talking about here, and this is this example, is somebody who's saying they trust in Hashem, but they put in no effort. No. What it's saying here is that don't just trust in Hashem, don't say I trust in Hashem without putting in effort. But like we said in the previous classes, when you say Hashem, I want to be close to you, I want to trust you, thank you for everything you do for me in my life, you're already making dramatic impacts in the spiritual world, and of course in your neshama. Another advantage of bitachon is that for one who trusts in Hashem, having a great deal of money won't prevent him from trusting in Hashem. Like we said earlier, you don't have to be poor to trust in Hashem. A wealthy man also can trust in Hashem, for he doesn't rely on the money. What is the money to him? In his eyes, the money is like a deposit to be held by him for temporary safekeeping. How many people say, oh, I want to save up money in my accountant, etc. No, silly. Give the money away and more money will come to you. The whole purpose of the money is to use it, to distribute it, to do good. And the more you distribute the money to tzedakah and to do good and to Torah organizations and whatnot, you're going to get it back in return. Out of the whole Torah, Hashem says, test me. With what? With Maaser. Test me with Maaser, I'm going to make you rich. A wealthy man should know he's only a treasurer for Hashem, holding the money for him. He was commanded by Hashem to use that money in certain ways, for certain purposes for a limited time. So this wealthy man realizes that it's not really his money. Therefore, he gives it to yeshivot and to people who need it. He's busy handing out money to the right places. He's busy saving money and making money because he's a treasurer. A treasurer has to collect money for his institution, but it's not his money. That's the attitude that a Baal Bitachon has to have if he's wealthy. All that I have is not mine. I'm only a temporary treasurer holding it for Hashem. And if the money continues to remain with him a long time, he shouldn't become accustomed to it and feel that's how it should always be. Again, he shouldn't become accustomed to it and feel that's how it should always be. So he shouldn't become rebellious because of the money. Thus, if a man has money that he recently acquired, he might feel that it's a temporary gift from Hashem. Suppose he has had the money in his family for two or three generations. He then becomes used to it, accustomed to the idea that his family is meant to be a rich family. But you shouldn't forget that Hashem could take it away from him in the blink of an eye. He shouldn't remind the person to whom he was ordered to give of his money about his generosity in doing so. How many times do we see people that give staka to poor people and they're like, oh, where's my misha berach? Where's my thank you? No. I learned that if a person gives tzedakah, I think you get 5 or 6 brachot. But if you give that same tzedakah to a person and you give them a compliment and you give them a hug and you tell them, I hope whatever you're collecting for, I hope it's matzliach, or I hope the person you're collecting for has a refuah shlemah, you get 17 brachot from the Gemara, right, Rabbi? 17. So you see that you can do the same act of giving tzedakah, and you can get so many more brachot from Hashem if you actually do it with a happy face and with an open heart. He shouldn't insist on recognition and gratitude for his money, because it's not his money. Let's say you hand out money for tzedakah. It's not your money. The poor person is giving you the opportunity, like we said, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. When you give tzedakah, you're creating Hashem's name, and that poor person is giving you the opportunity. And we should get to a level where we see that the poor person is giving us the opportunity, and we should be so happy to give them. It's not my money. When the rich man is giving out money and they're making banquets for him, or when he's putting his name on a building, he should say, it's not my money, it's Hashem's money. They should really put the poor person's name on the building and the poor person's name on the banquet, because that poor person is giving that rich man the opportunity to make mitzvot. He shouldn't expect any kind of recompense in the form of thanks or praises or honors, but rather he thanks his creator. What a level to be on. Amazing. Can you imagine being able to live this way? For making him an agent for his goodness. How many times do we see rich people that they don't even allow the rabbis to speak freely, or they try to modify their speech? A rich person thinks he has power. A rich person doesn't have any power. In a second, in the blink of an eye, Hashem could take it away from them. It's the opposite. The rabbi is the person that's bringing the kedusha to the shul. The rabbi is bringing the kedusha to the synagogue. Because without the rabbi, you have nothing. Yes, a person thinks he's rich and he has money and he's also powerful, but that rich person is replaceable. Now, the tovato has two meanings: to treat other people with goodness, and two, to benefit himself. A rich man should think as follows: Baruch Hashem that I'm able to help people. I can help the yeshivot. And Baruch Hashem, I'm helping myself, because this money that I'm giving out is a zechut for me. When Hashem bestows upon you opportunities for doing mitzvot, you have to thank him for the mitzvot. It's such an opposite way of thinking. We give money and we're stingy and we make money and we think it's ours. It's saying here that when you have bitachon, it's not your money. How much easier, how much more fun is it to give tzedakah and to live with bitachon, and you know that Hashem, whatever happens, Hashem natan, Hashem lakach, Yishem, Hashem mevorach, Hashem, it's all up to you. How much more fun does life become when you recognize it's not me, it's Hashem. It's not my Chase bank account, it's Hashem's bank account, and it's flowing through me. When you make yourself a channel for Hashem to flow through you, He's enough to give you so much you don't even know. But always, never get ahead of yourself. As much as you get, say, Hashem, thank you for allowing me to be a channel of your kindness. If it's an opportunity to do mitzvah, and you should thank Hashem for that. If he becomes a pauper and the money becomes lost from him, lo yidag, he won't worry, and he won't mourn its absence. Rather, he will thank Hashem for taking back his deposit from him, and I'll say another piece, thanking him for the fact that he got to have it in the first place. He will say, thank you, Hashem. I know that it was only a deposit. I thank you for relieving me of the responsibility of the deposit. Because like we said before, having a lot of money is a very big responsibility, because Hashem expects you to give and to distribute it. Kasher hoda bintinato lo. He will thank Hashem just as he thanked him when he gave him the money. V'yismach b'chalko. In either case, he will rejoice. He will be happy with what Hashem gave him. Now that he has no money, he's also happy. V'enino mevakesh azeh lezulato. He will never seek to injure anybody or blame anybody, even if that person contributed to his loss. He won't say, somebody else is at fault, my partner or my neighbors, whatever it may be. No, he won't blame anybody for the fact that now he has normal money, because he recognizes that it's only from Hashem. V'lo yachmod adam b'mamono. And he won't be jealous of people who have money. Kemo she'amar chacham, as the wise man Shlomo HaMelech said, tzadik ochel, a tzadik eats just to satiate himself. As long as the righteous man has something to eat, he's very happy. Now this, we have to know, it's easy to say, and difficult to do. It's very important to know that the person who expends efforts on this subject and works in this bitachon is a wealthy man. Not having 500 bitcoins, no, having bitachon. That is a wealthy person. The wealth of the mind, trusting in Hashem, is the real wealth, as it says. Blessed is the man who trusts in Hashem, then Hashem will be his security. Baruch hageva yishivdach ba'Hashem, v'ayah Hashem yiftacho. It's just like saving up money. Let's say you have thousands of golden coins hidden away somewhere in your house. If you also have bitachon concealed in your mind, that's the best kind of wealth to be hoarded away. Like we said in the first class, to those of you who weren't here, a person was looking for the city of for the state of happiness. He went to Deal, New Jersey. He went to Montreal. He went to Miami, South Beach, DJ Khaled. Where is happiness? he realized in the end, where is the state of happiness? Happiness is a state of mind, because happiness equals peace of mind. How do you have peace of mind? By having emunah bitachon. When a person realizes that everything is from Hashem, and Hashem is running their life, and they have nothing to worry about, nothing to be sad about. Remember, worry in Hebrew, daaga, dalet alef gimel hey, missing the bet, bring down the bet, bitachon, bring down the bet again, bracha. You miss the first five letters of the Hebrew alphabet without the bet. When the person has bitachon, they're going to have bracha, they're going to completely have a happy life. You can have running businesses and a Moroccan wife screaming at you and all the madness happening to you in the world. But if you have bitachon and Hashem, you're going to tell your wife, Ishti, scream louder. I love your voice. People come to you with problems. I want more. It's not enough for me. Because when you have bitachon and Hashem, you have an infinite amount of space for people, for your wife, for your family, for your kids, because you're taking nothing personally. It's not me. And the opposite, I have to thank them. And when you have this bitachon mindset, you kind of go, you go reverse of the whole entire world's getting stressed out and taking it personally, and their ego is coming into the show. When a person has bitachon and Hashem, they recognize that everything's from Hashem, and they thank them for the most difficult things. With that, I will conclude and invite Rabbi Saadia to say a couple words. Let's go.
Shalom Aleichem, everyone. I don't know. Yonatan called me, said, come. Baruch Hashem, very impressive. Very, very impressive class. Very impressive talking. A lot of positive energy and mamash. So, Tali Shemurad. Maybe something we can put some emphasis on, since Yonatan spoke a lot about having bitachon. Bitachon is also related, obviously, to emunah, right? A lot of people ask the question, what's the difference between emunah and bitachon? And I will add another word, which exactly is on top of here of the ark, da'am ilfnat ha'omed, which is the aspect of da'at. Da'at is godly awareness, right? That is not only knowledge, but in the profound sense means godly awareness. Emunah seems to be also to be have godly awareness. And bitachon seems also the same thing. So what are the differences? Maybe just to make things easy. Actually, bitachon and emunah are the same coin, two faces of the same coin. Emunah, let's say, is in theory, and bitachon is in practice. Okay, just, you already heard this explanation probably. And now what's that? That means having this is a masculine aspect of emunah. If emunah is, in Kabbalah, is related to what we call the Sefirah of Malchut. Malchutcha, Malcholami, Memshatva, Dovado. The emunah is always the feminine aspect. And kol mitzvoticha emunah, like the David HaMelech says, v'layla aleivecha v'emunatcha balilot, and so on and so forth. We see that emunah is actually also, and that's why it's vulnerable, and it's the most important thing that we have to achieve, emunah bitachon, because actually it's a feminine aspect, and it's vulnerable. It's very attackable. I don't know how you say it exactly in English, sorry, because I'm French speaking. But I try to make it, that means if we have to work on something all our life, like it's written in the Gemara, Ba Habakkuk ve'imid al achat, Ba the Navi Habakkuk, and he testified on one thing. After listening to different chachamim, each one came and said what are the important concepts and pillars of faith in life. Habakkuk said one thing, and it's all come to this conclusion. Tzadik be'emunato yichye. That's the most important thing, is to cultivate and to make sure you have a lot of emunah. Now, a lot of people, unfortunately, they think, oh, we have emunah, or we don't have emunah. It's absolutely not the case. Everyone, every human being is born with a portion of emunah, of some level of emunah. Emunah is something we have to make grow, and continuously and infinitely. So, because once we have emunah, like Yonatan explained so beautifully, We have serenity, we have harmony, we feel strong, we don't despair, we're always besimcha, samech v'chelko, like was mentioned. We're very in a very way. Why? Whatever happens, we all in a sense come from above. Akol letova, kol akava letova. It's fine. Again and again, you fall, you raise again, and you feel it's okay, no problem. This is a bal emunah. But sometimes it's how you come to this level of emunah. My question to you, maybe Bezal Hashem, if I can contribute a little bit tonight, is how do we increase in emunah? How we gain more emunah? As it was mentioned, all the benefits of emunah are amazing. But how do I do? I do a CVS and I ask for a can of emunah or a gallon of emunah. How do I get more emunah in my life? Is that a good question? Anyone has any idea how to increase emunah? Go ahead. Very, very, very good. Very good answer. What's your name?
David.
Yeah,
David.
David HaMelech. Chazak. So David, you are on the ball. David HaMelech says like this. Listen to what he says. He emanti ki adaber. You know why I have emunah? Because I speak. Speak to who? A shepherd. As we see, all our great sages, tzaddikim, like the Sheva Ushpizin that we have during Sukkot. Avraham, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, Yosef, Aaron, Moshe, David. They had a common denominator. What? They're all shepherds. And usually a shepherd doesn't talk to his sheep, no? Unless he's a little bit, he lost it. So what he does, he's alone with 100, 200 sheep, walking all day long in the desert, in the field. What he has to do, has one thing. He talks to Hashem. And that's why they achieved the level. Rabbi Nachman of Breslev says, why did they achieve the level of Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah and clarity? Because they were talking to Hashem day and night. What we call Hidbodedut. That means they were secluded and they had nothing other thing to do than to Hashem. Same thing for the Imahot. The Imahot which had Bina Yetera, what all our imahot were still today, and that's the strength of the women. Because as we know, if emunah is related to the dibur, and we said emunah is a feminine aspect of the da'at, we know that Baruch Hashem, on 10 measures of diburim, the women got 9 and the men 1. No, it's true, I'm not exaggerating, that's what he said. And Baruch Hashem, because the women and the women of valor, Eshet Chel of Am Yisrael, are talking non-stop to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember my mother, Zichron Evracha, every morning, in front of the window, talking to Hashem, and asking, and begging, and pleading, talking. She didn't know Hebrew. My mother didn't know how to read Hebrew. But she was talking day and night to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Baruch Hashem, she achieved a lot of very, very high spiritual levels. So here, this is the key. The key in order to increase in emunah and bitachon, and eventually in da'at, because the da'at is the utmost level that we have to achieve, as you can see here, da lifnei mi atah omed. Know or be aware who you're standing in front of who. And at the end of the geula, the whole geula, the whole reason of geula, why we think Melech HaMashiach, is only the water is covering the oceans. The earth will be full of that. Maybe AI, who knows? That's what it may be a reference to. There's a connection probably there. But in any case, that's why it's also the first blessing, the first request we do every day in tefillah. The first bakashot, our bakashot, Magen Avraham, Mechaya Metim, Ael HaKadosh, right? Those are praises to Hashem. But what is the first request we beg Hashem for? Ata chonen ata da'at. And once you have da'at, you have teshuva. Once you have teshuva, you have selicha. Selicha, and you see the order of the 13 blessings that we request. it's a series, it's a sequence, like a domino game. Because once you have that, you have teshuva. Once you have teshuva, then it means you're connected, teshuvah, you brought back the Shekhinah to its from its exile, from its galut, then you have selicha, you give forgiven. If you're forgiven, you have good health. You have good health, you have panasa, panasa, shofar gadol, and so shofar gadol, and so on and so forth. We see it's all in line. We see it's all start with what? With da'at. But da'at, the masculine aspect of emunah, you can go and get only through what? Also through it, bodidus. Because emunah and da'at are the same thing. How do we know that da'at also comes only through it, bodidut? It's the pasuk says, Bechol derachecha da'ehu. In every derachecha, you said derachecha, in every ways, da'ehu, know him, be aware of him. So bechol is bet, derachecha, dalet, da'ehu, another dalet. What makes? Boded. When you're boded, you seclude yourself, and you disconnect in order to connect. Like they say with the cell phone, we'll have to disconnect from the phone in order to connect to the people around us and our church. Same thing with Hashem. You cannot connect with Hashem and get this influx and this Shefa Eloki and this light unless you first disconnect of all the craziness and the illusion of this world. That's why you do Shema Israel with closed eyes. What Rabbi Nachman says, why you have to close your eyes when you say Shema Israel? Because if you don't close your eyes to the illusion of the world, the vanities of this world and the ephemerity of this world, you cannot connect to the oneness of Hashem. You're going to be always bilbulim and confusion, mental confusion. Mm-hmm. So first thing, disconnect. Go in this way. That's why David HaMelech used to, under his covers, all the Tehillim that David HaMelech wrote, we spoke about him, is only when he was alone. Same thing with all Avotenu HaKadoshim, with everyone. So very important. If you see Mesilat Yesharim of Rabbi Chaim Moshe Lutzato, the famous Mesilat, he has 10 chapters, you know? And it's different steps and levels of achievement. The ultimate level of Kedusha that he mentioned there, and prophecy, and he says, it's only through it what they do. That means seclusion, to seclude yourself. And to take time to speak to Hashem. Hashem, you're lucky, guys. In Miami, you go on the beach, you have no one. We rented an apartment now in front of the beach in Ocean. Every night I open, I stay there, no one is there. Because it must be a very quiet environment. You cannot go on Collins in the middle of the aqua and start to be with it. Impossible. You have to seclude yourself and to connect. And once you do this kind of exercise day and night and every day, your connection with Hashem is very strong. And your emunah gets much stronger. Your da'at, your awareness is much stronger. And then you start to understand things that you were not understanding until now. And you start receiving things that you were not. And as we know, and I'm addressing myself to the ladies, because you, Hashem, gave you, again, like I said, the facility of the speaking and talking. And when you direct this talking not directly to Hashem, you can achieve very high level. The Bina Yetera, which leads to Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh leads to prophecy and super, super connection with Hashem. That's why the great woman of valor of Am Israel, we have Avraham and Sarah, Hashem to Avraham Avinu. Sarah is at a higher level than you. We thought Avraham was, no, Sarah. And that's why Bizkut Nashim Tzadkaniyot Nidganim will be, again, have our Geula through the Nashim Tzadkaniyot. Because you have this natural capacity to connect with Hashem at a higher level than we men. We have to struggle. You know, a man to stop and to go and talk to Hashem, it's a huge effort. It's much more difficult to learn a blot of Gemara or a daf of Zohar Kadosh. Much more difficult. Because we're looking more for intellect and more to understand things. We're less in emotions and less in. So for us, it's a huge, huge, huge undertaking. That you, Baruch Hashem, Am Yisrael, Am Kadosh, Nashim Tzadkaniyot, use this tool that Hashem gave you already naturally, and you can achieve. That's why this intuition, feminine. We are talking, my wife now, we're at the restaurant. She was talking about to do. Following your intuition. And I told her, please force me, because sometimes I don't listen to her, and every time I don't listen to her, I make a mistake. Every time. It never misses. And this morning again, she showed me that I didn't listen to her, I lost $10. $10. This was a parking thing. Anyways, long story short, I always told my friend, just listen to your wife, you're going to be successful. Yeah. Because you have intuition. But this intuition is the Bina Yetera. This Bina Yetera comes from Yidbodedut. And this is the source of Emuna. And that's why, now you can ask a question, why women have this gift? Is that a good question? You women don't want to do some revolution here and contesting and going, no? Why women have this extra thing that we don't have? Anyone wants to try? And we finish on that. Better version.
I approve this passage.
Akadosh Baruch Hu always try to equilibrate everything. Women have a tendency of being ksat be'atzvut. Sat, kosi atzvut. Sad. That's a natural tendency from the woman. So in order to compensate this atzvut, and to bring the woman, that's why the Gemara says, a man has the obligation to be mesamech et ishto, has the obligation to make her happy. Happy wife, happy life, right? So the woman has a tendency to be a little bit less happy than the man, naturally. Now, in order to compensate for this lack of happiness, she has more emuna, because this emuna will bring her to back to a normal level, even an increased level of simcha. Ki besimcha tetzeu, you cannot go out of Mitzrayim, of your own Mitzrayim, if you're not besimcha. Simcha is the number one condition to get out of all our constrictness, all our difficulties of exile. Ki besimcha tetzeu. So and who came out besimcha? The women of Israel. So Bezrat Hashem, it's all connected. Those notions are connected. But to make it sense, Bezrat Hashem, so let's concentrate, let's increase our emuna, our dahat, our simcha, through itbodidut, for talking to Hashem, connecting to Hashem, and the more we go in that route, the more we'll have mamash, not just happiness, but dvikut. He mentioned, he said before, Yonatan used the word dvikut. This is the number one word that the Ramchal, Rabbi Chaim Moshe Lusato, is using in all his books. So be davek l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, to be one with Hashem. And once we connected to the source, obviously you have everything, materially, spiritually, at all levels. That's the shlemut. So with Hashem, we wish to all of us shlemut, simcha, and bracha.
Happy wife, happy life. My name is Jonathan Ben Shimol, and I approve this message.